So let's open our Bibles. We're in Matthew chapter 25 again, and Pastor said I'm supposed to be out at 7:27, I think it is. And you want to hear something funny or not? You want to hear something funny tonight? I had a guest speaker at our church several years ago, and we're just always cutting up. I don't know why we Independent Baptists. We just have a lot of fun. We're fundamentalists. And so we have a screen behind you, so the words to the songs are up here. Then we have a screen back here, so the music director or the choir can see some of the words sometimes. And so I had shot up on the screen, our guest speaker is speaking, and at noon it just came on. The pastor just called. He said, it's time to wrap it up. I mean, the words appeared for about 5 seconds, and the guest speaker just looked, and then they disappeared. I never mentioned it. And so I think he thought he saw the handwriting on the wall or something like that. So here we are. We're in Matthew. It's a delight again to be here tonight. Thank you for your youth conference. Thank you for all the work you do for the youth of America and the world. Thank you for your missionary vision that you have. You are known as a missionary supporting and a missionary sending church. And God's done something special here. The average Independent Baptist church has never had one of its members ever go to the mission field. That's the average Independent Baptist church, and God has touched your church. And thank you for the youth conference, all the work. Thank you for your Bible college and all the young people that you're training. I'm excited for you. We're in Matthew chapter 25. We better get going, and here we are. Your assistant stole my fire. He gave you all the points to my message tonight. So here it is, Matthew chapter 25, and I'll just give you what's left. And let's stand if you're able, please, and we'll give you this story that Jesus gave, and we're going to speak on this subject tonight, stewardship, giving and taking, and maybe a little bit different angle and several stories tonight. Matthew 25, and Jesus says in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Whose goods? His goods, huh? And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Does that not remind you of Jesus? He's given us spiritual gifts. He took his journey. He's in heaven. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had 2, he gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his large money. After a long time, it seems like a long time, doesn't it? The Lord of those servants cometh, and he will come back one day. I believe with all my heart he's coming back in our lifetime. I believe he's coming back. And verse number 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You say, Pastor, what's he getting at there? He's saying, this master said, I'm giving you something to invest for me. One day I'm coming back. I'm going to check on my investment. You say, when do we get rewarded, Pastor, for our giving, for our stewardship, for our service? Well, there's 2 rewards. There's the reward that comes now. There's a reward for serving God now. Someone says, well, one day. No, someday, right now. It's worth, if there were no heaven, it would be worth serving the Lord right now just for the joy and the reward that he gives us here. But one day he's coming back, and we'll be up in heaven with him for 7 years. He'll be passing out rewards. He'll be given crowns. We'll come back one day with him for 1,000 years. We will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Won't be President Obama in the White House. Won't be Governor Brown. And it won't be a lot of other people ruling and reigning. I can see it now. Joe Esposito, governor of the state of California. I can see Johnny Esposito, warden of San Quentin. And just all these leadership roles given out. We will rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's worth it. to serve the Lord. We'll look at one other verse, please, and we'll pray. Father, bless now this time. Help us make sense with what we have, the time we have tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One other verse. Let's look over, please, in Luke chapter 16 for just a moment. Luke chapter 16, and notice what he says. Jesus rephrases the story just a little bit, and we've got to get with it here. Luke chapter 16, and notice, please, in verse number 1. How many of you, it's in red, what Jesus is about to say. It's in red, okay? If it's in red, what's that mean? It's true. All right, so if it's in red, it's true. If it's in black, it's true. If it's in any color, it's true. All right, so I just wanted to give you that. Luke 16, 1, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And skip down to verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. The word mammon there means that in which one trusts, or you could say money. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Now, just quickly here, here's what he's saying. God is saying, he says, I'm going to give you some things. I'm going to give you some things to manage for me. We call it stewardship. God owns, we possess. God is the owner, we're the manager. It's not really ours. He says, now, if he can trust us with what he's given us, then he'll give us the true riches. Let me illustrate for just a moment. Brother Joe, can I use you just for a second here? And let me just give you something to hold for me, okay? All right, here, just up a little bit closer. He's just going to hold some things for me. And since I'm a good guy, I'm going to give him just all kind of stuff to hold for me. Now, whose is it? Help me here quickly. Mine. All right, who's holding it? Brother Joe. Now, here he is. That's kind of how God does to us. God says, I'm giving you some children to take care of for me. We call it stewardship. Hannah said, Lord, I have lent you. Please give me a son and I will lend him to you. God gives us health to use for him. God gives us time to invest for him. God gives us abilities. Well, most people get some. God gives us abilities to use for him. God gives us the gospel. We are to be stewards of the gospel, not to keep it, but to invest that gospel for him. Now, here's what he says. He says, now, I've given it to you, and I want it back. All right, good, good. Now, sometimes we get upset when God wants something back. Sometimes he gives us good health, and then all of a sudden we have bad health, and we get upset. It was God's to give it to us. It was his in the first place. And so, same thing with riches. God gives us riches and says, now, here, let's invest it back. And we're going to talk about that tonight, all right? Thank you. You may be seated. Give him a hand. We have worked on that for a long, long, long time. Here's the verse in the Old Testament. In the book of Job, and I'm going somewhere with it, he says, when he lost his children, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So someone asked, came up to me a while back, and they said, so Pastor, what does God want? He said, just cut through everything. How much does God want from me? Well, there are several things he wants. He wants the glory. He wants our abilities, our talents. He wants our tithe. He does want our children. He does want our will. God wants a lot of things from us. As I was reading a while back the book of Leviticus, the entire book of Leviticus deals with giving to God. Have you ever noticed? All these different animal sacrifices, and they're giving, giving, giving. And he says, and put salt on it, and fillet it, and cook this, and put the fat here. And I mean, he's real particular in how he likes things. Now, here's what God's saying. Give to me the way I like to be given to. For instance, I like Starbucks coffee. Please forgive me if you don't. I like a tall coffee of the day, 3 sweetened loaves, half an inch of half and half in it. Now, sometimes people will stop by the office, they'll say, Pastor, got you a Starbucks, and they'll have it prepared just the way I like it. Why? Because they've been paying attention. They know how I like things. And then sometimes I'll have someone just show up and say, Pastor, I went by the mobile gas station, got you a cup of coffee. You know, it's just black in this cup. Someone's not been paying attention. God is simply saying, pay attention to how I want it given to me. So what does God want? Let's just review just for a moment. One, what does he want financially? He wants the tithe. He wants the tithe. And yes, that's Old Testament. The Bible in Genesis 14:20 says, and he gave him, Abraham gave him tithes of all. Then in Leviticus 27:31, and if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes. And then in Matthew 25:14, Jesus talks about, 23:23, he commended the man for giving his tithes. He said, you ought to have done this and not to leave the other undone. So tithing is an Old Testament command. I like this. In Nehemiah chapter 10, they sent the Levites to collect the tithes. Get that. Old Testament, they didn't give the tithes. They sent someone to your house to collect the tithes. Wouldn't that be something here? There's a knock on your door, and someone says, who is it? It's one of the deacons. Can I help you? Here to collect your tithes. We did some checking. You didn't give it, so here it is. You know what I found out? Everyone in our church tithes, and I don't know what your record is here. Everyone, 100% of our people tithes in our church. Some of them give it. Some of them God collects it. They all tithe. When you give it, you get rewarded. When he collects it, you don't get a reward. You say, I don't get it. You'll get it later. No, he'll get it later. Someone says, well, Pastor, what's that mean? So in the Old Testament, they were to tithe. In the New Testament, they got to give. In the book of Malachi, the Bible says, you know this chapter, in chapter number 3, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's one thing to steal from God. Stealing is when he's not looking. When you rob someone is when they're looking at you. You know, it'd be pretty foolish to rob God. And so he says, prove me now herewith. If I will not open the windows of heaven, he says, bring ye all. He didn't say send. He said bring. So that means we're to bring them with us. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, which is the local church. Yes, God is for tithing. Second, he's for giving above that. Now, the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes. That's the 10%. And the offerings. That's anything above. And that's why sometimes we'll have on our offering envelopes tithes, offerings. Stop there for just a moment. Someone says, well, Pastor, what does tithing or giving do to our local church? Number one, it places our heart. God says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Several years ago, a lady said, Pastor, we just can't get faithful in church. Can you give me maybe a tip of how our family can be more faithful in church? I said, yes, easy, tithe. When a person tithes, they show up to see where it went. And that's just kind of how that goes, where. Then we have Barnabas in the New Testament. He's giving. We have the widow. Jesus stopped. Here's the widow. She's given in the offering plate. Many of you remember the story. And we're not going to read it, but she gives the two, what is it again? The kids remember, sorry, 2 mites, which equals about 0.5 cents. She gives 2 mites. Now, who was she giving it to? Help me. Capital G, O-D. Jesus is walking by. She drops it in. She didn't drop it in the plate. She could have just handed it to him. She was giving it to him. And that's when Jesus stopped and said, do you see what's going on here, fellas? She's given her whole heart. It's what we do. It's giving above the tithe. So, Acts chapter number 3, and we're almost to the second point. Number one, these are just principles of giving. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Just an illustration quickly. In the New Testament, there was a group of people, and Paul said they first gave their own selves. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. Someone said, there was a missionary years ago, and they were passing the offering plate, and he was a missionary to the Indians. There was an Indian there who had recently been saved. Thank God for this, the aunt over here who's recently been saved. Heard about that tonight. But the Indian didn't know what to do. He didn't have any money with him, and the offering plate was passing. He didn't have any scalps. He didn't have his bow or his arrow with him. He had his clothes, and that was about it. And he just got real perturbed as that offering plate passed. And finally, the ushers put the offering plate back here with the money in it next to the pulpit. Right before the pastor got up, the Indian came up, grabbed the offering plate. They thought he was going to run out with it. He set it down on the ground and stepped inside of it. Said, Indian, give self to Jesus. You know, that's the first thing God wants from us. God doesn't need our money. God's got the streets of heaven paved with gold, but God does need us. And that's where it all starts. Illustration, years ago, we had a man in our church named Zsolt Kovács. He's Hungarian. We don't have a lot of Hungarians in our church, probably like you don't. Y'all don't have a Hungarian ministry, do you, Brother Myers? And I don't even know where Hungary was. I think it's like right next to the Philippines or right next to Cambodia. I don't know where it is. But he spoke with that heavy accent, and he was kind of a foreign exchange type student. But he got reached in our church and got baptized. We were in the middle of a building program, much like you are right here. And I remember one morning after the service, he said, Pastor, can I speak to you? And I said, sure, Zsolt. And he was just starting to get into his Bible, just starting to win souls. And he handed me the pink slip to his car. He said, Pastor, here's the pink slip to my car. Then he handed me another pink slip. Pastor, here's the pink slip to my motorcycle. And Pastor, here's a check for $5,000 out of my checking account. He said, this is all I have. I said, Zsolt, what do you mean? He said, I'm giving this to get the building built. I said, Zsolt, I'm not going to take every dime you have. He said, it's the least I can do for what Jesus has done for me. By the way, it's no accident right now. He's now a missionary planting churches in his home country of Hungary. And he's been doing that the last 15 years. What happened? Zsolt stood in the offering plate. He said, it's not just about money. That's where it starts, and that's where my heart started going. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Years ago, we were having a building program at our church in Baton Rouge. I was on staff. And I was real blunt. I asked the pastor. I just came up to him. I said, what do you want us to give? I'm not going to pray about it. You're the pastor. What do you want a staff to give? And he said, minimum $1,000. I said, okay. Now, to me, that was five paychecks. That was a month and a week of paycheck. And I just, you know, it starts with a willing heart. And I said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to do this, but here we go. About that time, I got a phone call to preach a revival in Nebraska. I'd only been married 6, 8, 9 months. A little town in Lexington, Nebraska, flew me all the way there to speak. I got out of the plane, and it was a whopping group of maybe 25 people to speak to. I said, I'm not even going to get home. They're not even going to pay for the ticket. And I remember preaching that first night, nothing happened. Second night, nothing happened. Third night, nothing happened. It had been a scandal in the church. I knocked on doors, soul winning. No one would open the door in the whole little town. Wednesday night, nothing happened. Thursday night, nothing happened. Friday night, two people came in with oxygen tanks. I said, man, they're having a hard time getting visitors. I mean, they had the oxygen in their nose and the tank. One guy's about to die and one woman's about to die. I'm on the pulpit, not on the pulpit, I'm on the platform. The pastor pokes me and says, that woman tried to ruin our church 35 years ago. If she got right with God, revival would break out. And that man, we've been praying for him for 30 years. If he got saved, revival would break out. I just ditched my sermon on the second premillennial, second coming rapturous theory of the Antichrist 10 toes, and I just preached on, you better get saved. I preached that night, and that woman, she gets her oxygen tank, starts wheeling it down the aisle, weeping, getting her heart right. About that time, that unsaved man came forward and got saved. Something happened to that little church. Altars were filled, people were weeping, people were shouting. The pastor said, this is the greatest revival. One person saved. This is the greatest revival we've ever had in the history of our church. I mean, something happened that night. They were revived. So I'm about to leave that night. I said, Lord, I'll give you $1,000. I want to give in our big offering. About that time, the pastor walks up to me and says, here's our love offering for the week. You know, I'm thinking maybe I can get a candy bar, take my wife to McDonald's or something on the way. And it was a check for $620. That little crowd, I said, no way. I'm heading to the car. I'm just ready to shout. And then the president of the youth group came up to me, the youth group who'd been there 35 years. He's now 35 years of age, the president of the teen group, 35. And he said, We've been taking a collection for 35 years and we never knew what to do with it. Here's a check for $380. $380 and $620 is $1,000. Here's my money! And I got the drive. I'm still remembering that, and that's been just about 30 years ago. How come? First, with a willing heart. I don't know how many times, it seems like at our church, I don't know how it is here, we always reach people on the downside. Pastor, 2 years ago I had $5 million in the bank. And I said, and I lost it all to drugs. And I've lost it all to lawsuits. And we're bankrupt. And we're living under bridge number 7. Thank God we got saved. I said, yeah, I'm glad you got saved too. I wish I'd met you 5 years ago. That's kind of how we reach people. It's all, you know, people come to church at the bottom. We just divorced. We just got out of jail. No one wins the lottery and comes to your church and pays the building off. I wish they would. You know, I was telling our deacons one time, I said, we need to install those one-armed bandits in the lobby. Just have one missions, youth, buses, Christian college, Christian school. We'll get their money one way or another. You can tell who the big givers are, the big muscles. Anyway, number next. Someone says, how demented is this speaker? So we're getting ready to move here to California, and we're tithing. The church calls and says, there's no salary. We don't know where you'll live. Our last several paychecks, we knew we were moving to California. Guess what we did? We kept tithing. We kept giving. Kept giving to missions. Not knowing where our next meal was going to come from. We move out to California. Before that, we had had a thunderstorm in Louisiana where we lived. Lightning struck one of the trees in our backyard where we lived and burned it to a crisp. So we called the insurance and said, you got a dead tree in your backyard. We moved to California. We're here about 2 weeks. I get a check in the mail for $900. For damage done to burnt tree. If I'd have known that, I'd have set the whole backyard on fire. You know what God did? God looked down and said, I got to burn one of my trees so I can feed one of my Christian children over there in California. He's paying tithes. He's still giving. He's trusting me, walking by faith, and look what I'm going to do for him. That's what God does. So there's principles of giving. God wants us to tithe. He wants us to give offerings. He wants to be first. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. There was a lady in our church. Well, let me just give you the promise and then we're done. Here's God's promise to us. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, if I can trust you, Brother Joe, stand back up here. If I can trust you with earthly treasures, I'm going to give you the real riches. Relationships. I preached on Father's Day. I went, stay there for a second. I preached on Father's Day this year. I just come back from seeing my father. He's 86. He's now on oxygen. For the first 40 years of my life, all he did was chase the temporal riches, money. He was rarely home. He was chasing that $1 million, gonna make the next million, gonna make the big deal. So he was rarely ever home, never home. We didn't do the Disneyland, didn't do the vacations. We didn't fish, we didn't shoot hoops. We didn't do all that. Why? He was chasing the temporary treasures. But once he got saved, he started becoming a giver. And when God saw he could trust him with the earthly riches, he started giving him the spiritual riches. And what is that? Relationships, kids, marriage, friendships, ministries. That's where it all starts. He says, if I can't trust you with the green stuff, how am I going to trust you with my power? You know, there's nothing like knocking on a door and leading someone to Christ. And God says, hey, I can trust you with money. I trust you with my power. You know, it's better to have relatives up in heaven than $1 million in the bank. It's better to have a sweet spirit in your family and a great relationship with the kids than it is to have billions of dollars in the bank. We see the movie stars around America. Families are crumbling and addictions happening and suicide attempts and suicide completions. They got this. but they've never found the true riches. By the way, some of you here tonight, you don't have a dime in the bank. You don't even have a savings account. They wouldn't even approve you for an ATM card, but you have discovered the real riches. It's sad when you have to get a cosigner to pay cash, but the true riches is I got the gospel, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I got a church, I got a pastor, got friends, got a ministry. Thank you very much. Where's that money? Unbelievable. I knew I couldn't trust. Oh, here it is right there. So there's the principles of giving. Where to give? Where does it start? Starts by giving ourselves. Starts by a willing heart. Heard about a new usher. He was being trained. He was kind of rough. None of your ushers would be like that. I know all of you men were raised in Sunday school starting at birth and probably had, you're like third or fourth generation Christians and raised in the church nursery. Most of you look like it. That's where you got your tattoos, in the church nursery. But I heard about this new usher and they didn't do a lot of training. He said, and what am I supposed to do? They said, come up to the front when they pray for the offering and then go collect the money. He said, okay. And that's all the training he got, go collect the money. And so he held his plate out. It passed down this row and came to the other row, and a man took the plate, passed it to him, didn't put anything in it. He just held it there. The guy kind of looked at him. He looked down. He just kind of held it there again. Finally, he said, well, just take some out then. It's for the heathen anyway. And that's not how you do it. So then there's the promise illustration quickly. Little boy was in the candy store. Any ladies like candy here? You're a candy person, you're a lady or young lady. One lady in the whole church likes candy. Two, three. Oh, okay, lots of hands up. And I'm not giving out any, I'm just wondering. Okay, so here it is. This little child's in the candy store, and he's got his nose up against the glass. He's looking at his favorite candy. And about that time, the owner of the store, he said, son, would you like some of that candy? And he just kind of looked at his mom, and he said, he opened up the little container. He says, go ahead and reach your little hand in there. You can have a handful. It's free. You won't have to pay. Just take your one handful. And the little boy just stood there, and he looked very shy. And the owner said, go ahead and stick your hand in, son. Just take your handful of candy out. He just kind of looked, and the mother said, son, go ahead and take a handful of candy out. And he stood there. Finally, the owner just said, well, here. And he put his hand in and put it in the bag and handed it to the kid. On the way out, the mother said, son, I thought you wanted that candy. How come you didn't put your hand in and take the candy out? He said, his hands are bigger. You know what I found out many years ago? I've been saved 43 years. I take my little hand and I give to God, and God takes his big old hand and gives back to me. I take my little hand and give to God. He says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully, his hands are bigger. You can never out give God. God will never owe you anything when you get to heaven. He always gives back. One lady in our church, she worked at 7-Eleven. Thank the Lord for Slurpees and Big Gulps. Children would not exist anymore if it weren't for that. Someone had invited her to church on a big day. She came and she got saved. Her name was Sue. About 2 weeks later, she says, Pastor, I'm a new Christian, just got saved and baptized. I've got to quit my job. I said, man, you just got saved. I said, you have another job? She said, nope. She said, I'm not selling pornography or liquor or cigarettes anymore. God will take care of me. We're raising money for the pews in our building. She doesn't have a job. And I think the pews were $700 or $800 a piece. We said, you can name them after somebody. You know, we do a lot of things to raise money, don't we? I was at Brother Chapel's. Anybody know Paul Chapel? I was at his church years ago, and they were out of money. They were trying to raise money for a college dorm. And he walked me through the dorm. He said, Brother Ray, he said, we owe $500,000 on this dorm. He said, if you finish paying this dorm off, we'll name it after you. He said, it's $500,000. I said, Brother Chapel, what would $300 get me? He said, we'll name a urinal after you. I told that story at our church, and one of our new converts came up and said, Pastor, I'll give an extra $300. We'll upgrade you to a sink. So Sue got saved, worked at 7-Eleven, quit her job. She came in the office, and one morning she laid down $6,000 And she said, I'd like to buy 6 pews. I didn't even ask where the money came from. I just said, okay, we'll take it. You know, God uses the most unlikely people. So here's a man. He got out of jail. A good man, wasted many of his years. He's now in his 50s. He said, Pastor, give me something to do that no one else is doing. So when no one's doing the lawns, he said, I'll do it. I'll buy my own lawnmower. I'll pay my own fuel. I'm going to chain it up. Don't let anybody mess with my stuff. I say, you got it. Every Saturday, he's mowing that lawn, just like clockwork, in his 50s. It's raining. He's got a yellow rain suit. He is mowing that lawn. About cut his hand off at work. He had someone pull the card, cranked it, mowing that lawn with one arm. Developed cancer. Got ready to die. He said, Pastor, I don't really have any relatives close to me. He said, do you mind if I just give all of my savings, all that I possess to God's work? That was over $50,000. That man's been up in heaven for years now, but he's still clipping coupons from what he invested. God trusted him with some true riches. I'm almost done. My wife and I are not millionaires. God has spoiled us. We have more than we ever could have dreamed of having, even physically. We moved here with a bus full of stuff, used furniture, and a Toyota car. God has blessed us. You can't outgive God. But he's given us the true riches too. Hundreds and thousands of people saved. 5 kids that we love. Memories of a lifetime. Thousands of people baptized. Stories that would take eternity to tell. And we're not rich, but we have given through the years. My wife for years has done daycare just so she could give more to missions. She doesn't do that because she's bored. She wants to give more. I think in the last 27 years that we've been in California, about $300,000 has passed through our hands to God's work. Illustration real quick. Years ago, my dad was at the house. He said, son, come here. He said, I want you to see something. He had a check for, he was in sales. And this was, about 1972, 73. The check was a check for $200,000. Come here, Brother Joe. And my dad says, son, look at this check. He said, would you like to hold it? I said, I'd love to hold it. He said, give it back. I said, okay, sure. You know, that's what God does sometimes. He says, here. Okay, now you held it long enough, and I need to use it for something. Can God trust us to take it and just pass it on? Sometimes that's what he's doing. Got a building to finish. Got missionaries to support. First, a willing heart. That's what God wants out of us. Thank you very much. His purpose, him to get glory. His principle, tithes and offerings. His promises, and it shall be given unto you. My hands are bigger. Maybe you're here tonight. You're a new Christian. Maybe you're a struggling Christian. And you're not even a tither yet. Tithing is not for the pastor. Tithing's for you. God says, I've got all these blessings I'd like to pour on you. Can I do it yet? Tithing opens those blessings. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to. It's all by faith. I used to have someone who made no money, so they filled out an envelope every week. 10% of zero is zero. And they kept dropping it in. When I was at Rick Martin's, I saw his envelopes, and it said tithes, buildings, missions, and then it said back tithe. I said, Brother Martin, what is this? He said, for people that backslide for a while, just so it gets their conscience, back tithe. So I don't know where you are on that. Second, are you willing? If God did something miraculous for you financially, would you be willing to do something miraculous financially for the Lord's work? If $5 million did come your way unexpectedly, would you pay the building off? Or would it be, well, let's pray.